Show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
However you've decided to spend the night with Ms. McGillivray, and we've got special guest, our Vancouver's dating coach, Zach Broman, on. Welcome back, Mr. Zach.
Thanks, Caroline.
It's good to have you.
You too.
Thank you. Well, it's really good. Tonight we're going to be talking about the show.
I can't hear you very well.
You can't hear me very well at all?
No, I wonder if there's...
I can hear me. Maybe I don't have my mic on.
That could be. Let me start that all over again, as I am going to blush. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM, or if you are one of our podcast listeners and you heard this silent dead air, which wasn't really dead air, it was just Caroline being technically difficult and not putting on her mic. You're listening to Ms. McGillivray tonight, sans Ms. Julia, who is celebrating her birthday off in Calgary and enjoying herself very, very much. Yay! Happy birthday, Ms. Julia, and we won't scare you and embarrass you by singing happy birthday, because we will get back to work, because you are not on your first date tonight, but we will be talking about first dates. Joining me tonight is Vancouver's premier dating coach, Mr. Zach Broman. Welcome back, Mr. Zach.
Thank you.
You're getting to be quite a regular on this show.
I'm nothing if not regular.
That may be too much information, perhaps, but we do like having you on the show. It's very good. It's nice to get a male perspective, and especially yours, because it's a very well-educated one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you've been giving advice about dating for a while for us, and even personally, you gave me some advice this week, which worked rather well.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
It's good. It was interesting how first dates sometimes can turn into all sorts of different scary things, and I'm really, really, really glad that I have you in my life. Thank you, because you were able to save me, and hopefully you'll save some of our listeners some of the havoc that can happen from some first dates and make them not such a scary thing, but make them a really great, wonderful thing.
Wonderful.
So that would be great. So tell us, we were talking a little bit earlier in the green room just about just how people get their ideas about dating in the first place. Can you hear singing?
I hear Christmas caroling, yes.
I hear Christmas caroling, too, and I'm not quite sure where that's coming
it's
from.
It's a miracle.
It's really scaring me, actually. Maybe it's coming from the other room, or maybe we're hearing voices in our head.
I don't know. If you're on a first date and the person's hearing voices in their head...
Run.
Abandon ship.
Take them to the hospital so they can get their meds.
All right, so carrying on.
Just in terms of where we get our ideas from for first dates. The media?
Yeah, I mean, our ideas about dating in general usually either come from school or parents or more often, yeah, film and television.
And siblings.
And siblings and self-help books.
That's a good point, self-help books. There's quite a few of those out there. I know I got a lot of my ideas from watching General Hospital when I was a kid with my mother.
So lots of drama in your dating.
It's funny as you say that. It's a good analogy. But it is interesting. There was, I think I got a lot of things in terms of that as well from teen books and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It's I think sometimes people have a lot of who they are as a high school person, and that kind of carries on into their adult life a little bit. And so even if they turn out to be a really good-looking guy, you know, and they're kind of geeky as a kid, there's still sort of that in there. And I think dating's kind of a scary thing. It's kind of like going on a job interview in a lot of ways.
It can be, especially if you haven't done it in a while. But I think it's something that can be practiced and improved and can actually be quite fun. I think it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it should be, as opposed to anxiety-causing.
Anxiety-causing is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it interesting just on one of the dating websites we were talking about earlier, just some of the advice they're giving to kids, and some of it was quite cute. Just things like making sure the girl is somebody that you honestly feel you can do things with. Tell her she looks awesome, not just a crush, and make sure she's single, and it's all in capital.
You want to make sure it's a girl you think you can do things with. Otherwise, what's the point?
That's true. That's, now that we've been talking about the national...
Yeah, they're giving good advice to these kids these days.
Yeah?
That's fantastic.
Okay. Find out what type of activities and hobbies she likes, but always be mindful. The more you know about her interests, the more things that you'll have to talk about. Try and talk about as much as you can, and try and talk about interesting things, but don't over-talk at first, and try and find some things in common with each other.
Yeah, I think advice like that is pretty much useless. Talk about interesting things if that's the advice you're giving. You know, I certainly have a list of common dating mistakes that I'd like to share. We're going to do that in the second half. Okay, what would you like to talk about now?
In regards to, I was just going to mention in terms of the dating and hobby, I think it's an interesting thing. You don't want to stalk somebody because you can find a lot about them.
Hobbies,
yeah. Like things that they find interesting, things
oh,
that
okay.
they do.
Okay.
Like, for example, I pole dance, you know.
Right, a pole dancing date would be a good choice for you?
It would not be a good choice for me. I think it'd be really interesting to see a guy on a pole, unless he's like a Chinese acrobat or something like that, which could always be really, really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But in that regard, I probably wouldn't talk a lot about pole dancing on a date. I may not even mention I do it just because of the connotation it's got.
Right.
But in terms of other things, if a guy, say, is really into football, it may not be something if the girl doesn't follow it, or talking about hockey, for example. If she's not a sports junkie, it may not be the best thing.
Yeah.
To spend a lot of time talking about. It's really good to be well-versed and... to find out what maybe touching on just current events and things like that, just to try and see what else is out
there. Sure, what's happening with Brittany and Brangelina, and it's good to keep up to date on those things.
I love that note of sarcasm in your voice.
No, I think those things are important. I think it's a way that people bond.
Do you?
It's totally not important, but it's fun to talk about.
So it's
anyway,
lightweight things.
Yeah.
And from the lightweight thing, she can find out how they feel about children and things like that in marriage?
No, you don't want to ask that on a first date. That's definitely not a direction you want to go in. It sort of screams from a guy's point. If a guy's doing it, it kind of screams, I'm desperate for a girlfriend and I think you might be it.
Yeah, I've had that a few times, mm-hmm. and it kind of scares me a little
Start
bit.
Start planning a family on your first date.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good thing.
No, I would say, you want to keep it light, as you said, but, mm-hmm. you know, there are these rules about staying away from certain subjects like politics and religion and, I don't know, is sex and sexuality one of them that you're supposed to stay away from? I don't believe in that. I think you should talk about the things that are relevant to you. Obviously, if you're getting in a big political debate, then, you know, you don't want to be stubbornly clinging to that. But, you know, you're out getting to know somebody. You might as well find out what they think about things that are important to you, right? What, are you going to save that for the third date?
I think it depends. So things like sex and things like that, I don't necessarily talk about a lot in a personal way on a first date. It depends on the first date, of course. Mm-hmm. I try to keep things more abstract and that, just because as a woman, there's that connotation as well that it's like, oh, she's talking about sex, so maybe she wants to go home with me now, you know?
That's the voice that the guy's thinking with in his head.
Sometimes. Or sometimes it appears that way. What would you say to that?
Talking about sex means, well, you get to find out about somebody's sexual attitudes, which I think is, I like to know that it's somebody that doesn't have a lot of hang-ups about sex. So I think it's a fine thing to discuss if you can discuss it in a mature way or, you know, even in a silly way.
On a first date.
Yeah, why
Give
not?
Give an example.
Of what, how sex might come up on a,
yeah,
talking about
okay,
sex?
Yeah, okay, you and I are on a date, say hypothetically. And how would it come up, basically? I know it would come up probably naturally in conversation.
Right, yeah. I'm not going to script a conversation that
no,
where sex is
okay.
going to come up. But I'm just saying this idea that we need to steer clear of that. I think as well women will get the impression if she mentions sex or something like that and he quickly steers away or gets embarrassed or something like that, it's kind of a turnoff for women if a guy can't maturely talk about sex.
I think mature is the key word in that sentence. No, definitely.
You're talking to the right guy. Mature is what you're looking for.
It's when there's all the double meanings and things like that and the, hey, do you want to go make out now? Conversations that... It's just not appropriate necessarily, or those type of things. I just don't think it's right.
To say, hey, you want to go make out now? I guess what you're saying is I think some guys will sort of test the waters of seeing how open sexually the woman is by making little suggestions like that. This just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't at all. I can say that from the female perspective, and you as dating coach expert, what would you say, my dear?
Yeah, of course. I just said it.
Yeah. Well, I think it just makes the woman defensive, and they start wondering, is this all you're here for?
Mm-hmm.
You don't really care about me. You just want to sleep with me.
Right.
And even though, yes, that is eventually going to be the end result if you end up in happily married after, it's not something you want to think about. It's like you want to make sure it's a full package. It's the fact that they actually think you have a brain. It's not just that they think you're hot and sexy and all those lovely things.
Yeah.
It's
all of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Whereas politics could be an interesting one to bring up, especially with all the elections coming up, both in the States as well as here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really in tune with current events and what's going on politically.
Okay.
But the point I was trying to make is you don't need to fear certain topics
so
or conversation.
Can tell somebody that you can talk about religion and tell them you're a Satanist on a first date.
Well, instead of telling them, you could just sacrifice a virgin or a small animal, and that will show them. You definitely want to show who you are rather than just telling people.
Well, you know what? That would make a really interesting...
Or a small virgin animal.
A small virgin animal. Very interesting, since this is a sex relationship show. On that note, I guess that would be a really interesting activity to indulge in if you're really, really shy. Because sometimes activity-based dates are really, really good to go on.
I agree. I think
interactive.
Some of the hallmarks of good dates are inexpensive is one,
mm-hmm.
Interactive, and something that's interesting, something with built-in conversation. I was listing some of the more fun dates that I've been on and some of the dates that I've helped my students plan.
Such as?
Karaoke is a lot of fun.
Definitely testing the fear factor there.
It is. Karaoke, it depends. If you can sing, you know, it's a chance to be a rock star. And if you can't, it's a chance to get outside your comfort zone. But getting outside of your comfort zones together is a great way to bond with somebody. Novel experiences that are a little bit scary.
Like skydiving?
Skydiving, sure.
That wouldn't be inexpensive, of course. But
what's that?
It wouldn't be very inexpensive, but...
No, and plus you'd have somebody else strapped to your back, which is not the person you're dating. You'd have to have two other instructors if it's your first time skydiving.
So it'd be a threesome, but not with your date.
Foursome.
Foursome. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. One strapped to them, one strapped to you. That could get quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it's not really interactive. Mm-hmm. Well, before and after, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the adrenaline rush.
Yeah, so karaoke's a fun one. One that I used to do is, haven't done in a while, is I used to actually volunteer at the SPCA to walk the dogs.
Nice.
And you can go down, if you go on their website, you can find out when you need to go train and do an orientation and things like that before they allow you to walk the dogs. But once you've done that, once you're in, then you can go by. There are certain times when you go by and walk the dogs. And I'm a big dog person, and I think seeing the way another person interacts with animals is a pretty good gauge of... It certainly tells you a lot about the person. I know if I'm out with a woman and she's kind of, you know, not interested in dogs.
Not a dog lover.
Yeah, not a dog lover. Not doesn't really get the whole animals as friends thing.
Mm-hmm.
It usually, cuts things pretty short.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Other things, window shopping is always good. I mentioned IKEA once, and you freaked out because you'd been taken to Home Depot on a date.
No, it was Costco, actually.
Oh, Costco.
And I was hungry.
Home Depot might be fun if you're that kind of a person. You could plan to tile your bathroom together. No? Caroline's shaking her head.
I'm shaking my head. I guess I'm a little bit of a princess, as we all know. So.
Right.
Yeah. But on that note, I guess one of the key things is finding out what you're going to do before you go on the date sometimes. So, for example, as a girl, you don't show up for water skiing in a ball gown because you think you're going to, say, a formal dinner or something like that. So it's important to know.
Excellent advice.
Well, I think it'd be very important.
Is this something that happened to you or someone you know?
Somebody I know actually was quite horrified. She ended up dressing up in heels and got stuck going on the grass grind with a guy. And he still took her and didn't offer to take her home in between.
Wow.
Yeah. Needless to say, it didn't go over very well. She threw up at the top.
Wow.
And it took them 3.5 hours.
Better and better.
Yeah.
So she threw up after 3.5 hours. That's not too bad. She was able to keep it in for the first 3.5 hours of the date.
She ended up marrying him, though.
Did she?
Yes, but...
Okay, well, there goes your advice.
I just didn't think it was a very appropriate date.
Well, the thing I like about that is he actually planned something.
But he didn't tell her the plan.
Of course, yeah. We'll get into that in a second. But the point being that he actually didn't say, I don't know, what do you want to do? He actually planned an activity. And, yeah, if you're going to do that, you can... I think a guy should do that. I think a guy, and if you want it to be a surprise, that's great, but then tell her what to wear.
Yeah. Let her know to bring her bathing suit, which may not be the best advice for most females, but.
Bathing suit?
Yeah. A lot of women have a lot of trouble going shopping for a bathing suit. I like bathing suits, but a lot of women out there aren't very particularly comfortable with that.
So what are you saying? You're saying
don't. Would probably not be a good one either.
Don't ask a girl to bring a bathing suit? Is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot of girls may not want you to see them in a bathing suit right away because a lot of women do have body issues. So it may not be the best thing to do on a first date until they feel comfortable with you. And again, it goes back to the whole sexuality thing too, just making sure somebody feels comfortable. Because, again, it's really similar to a job interview a lot of times, where you want to impress them. You also want to hire them at the same time. You want it to be a win-win situation.
Right.
You want this first date to be your last, where it's like, you know, I never want to date anybody else.
To be your last first date, you mean?
Exactly. Thank you.
I'm actually trying to get away from the whole job interview paradigm of dating. And even the word date, I think, is, you know, I don't use it a whole lot. It can be fun. It could be fun to say, we're on a date. You know, it can be fun to kind of call attention to it and make it explicit. But
all right.
We're talking about first dates here. So depending on how well you know the person, depending on how you met them, you know, you may not want to think of it as a date. You might want to think of it as meeting for coffee.
I agree. I think especially if it's an online date where you've never met the person before, it's got a different connotation than if it's somebody, say, that you work with, that you're going to hang out with outside of work for the first time.
Definitely. If it's an online thing and you've never met, no matter how many times you've talked on the phone and no matter how great a connection you feel like you have with this person, you want to plan it public.
Mm-hmm. Safety is key.
You want it to be public. You want it to be short, explicitly short, as in let's meet for 20 minutes for coffee and I have plans afterwards. And if it goes well, then you can continue on and you can do something, you know, go to dinner or continue on doing whatever you'd like. But I've had a lot of calls from people who have, I know people that have, you know, had their first time meeting somebody online, have them, you know, fly out for the weekend because they felt like they had such a good connection. And that's always been disastrous. I haven't heard of that really going well.
I've heard of one solid one, actually, somebody who works with me at City TV who actually married the person, and they've actually been together now for 6 years.
And their first date was?
Where he flew out to see her.
Okay. Did he stay with her?
I have to find out, but I think he actually stayed at a hotel. I can't imagine staying at the person's house. I think it's hard enough being a house guest to people that you know.
Exactly.
So why would you do that to somebody you've just met?
Yeah, I mean, if you live in different cities, of course, you're going to have to fly out there at a certain point. But as I was saying, they had this kind of weekend planned or a Friday or a Saturday night, you know, kind of big nights on your social calendar planned. You want to just really keep it short. Go see if there's chemistry, because if it's your first time meeting the person, if it's a blind date or an online date, you'll have an idea pretty quickly if there's chemistry. Or actually, more accurately, you'll know if there's not pretty quickly. And, you know, then the mind starts racing to come up with ways you can get out of it. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's true. They actually say that it takes 7 seconds to decide whether or not you like somebody or not. 7 seconds, that's it.
Yeah, I would say we make a judgment in 7 seconds about whether or not we might be attracted to the other person. I wouldn't say your mind's made up at that point.
But no, but it is whether or not they're in the running or not. Within the first 7 seconds that you lay eyes on somebody, you know whether or not it's going to happen or not. After that, once they open their mouth, it kind of solidifies it. It's quite quick. I think we're genetically engineered that way, so it just keeps things really, really simple. The initial attraction a lot of times is pheromones, and it's whether or not you'd biologically have a great kid with them. So it's important to find out whether or not they have the same value systems and asking really key questions.
Yes and no. As I said, definitely there's been research. I agree with you that there is a snap judgment there, but it doesn't mean that, as you say, there are a lot of other factors involved. And I think it opens the door anyway, those first 7 seconds. You can be disqualified that quickly, but you can't be qualified that quickly.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Unless you're just going to be a sperm donor, which is a different thing because you're planning to have children and you're meeting them for that purpose as opposed to for a relationship, hopefully.
Right. So if anyone's listening and planning on being a sperm donor, know that it's those first 7 seconds that are really key.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very, very
not
very
what I would consider a date necessarily when you're meeting with your sperm recipients, donees.
I definitely
not sure what the word is for that. But
I don't know what that would be either. I guess it depends on how you're planning to get inseminated.
Mm-hmm. But let's maybe for the purpose of this, we won't call that a date.
All right. We'll call it a meet and greet.
We'll call it a meet and greet.
In terms of dating, how would you say suggest for somebody to ask somebody out in the first place?
Again, it depends on how well you know the person. Yeah, but as I mentioned, you don't need to call it a date. At the same point, you also don't want to trick the person into going on a date with you. I think a lot of guys do that. They say, yeah, let's hang out, you know, or meet under another pretense, like if you're students for studying or something like that, and then when they show up, there's candles lit and it's dinner and things like that. Basically, it's a chance for you to get together and have some fun, just as you would with any other friend. And so see it like that, as not a commitment, but as a chance to, a chance to go and have some fun.
I think that's true. We're going to take a short break in a moment, but I just wanted to wrap up with last week we actually had a guest on called Scarlet Lake, who is a madame, and we talked about sugar daddies and things like that. And one of the key things that did come up was the fact that we all felt, everybody who was on the show, Julia and myself, in general, it should be whoever makes more money should be paying in terms of for the first date, at least. Me personally, I do feel it should be the guy. And Scarlett agreed with me. And according to John Gray, the author of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, men should take the initiative in planning the date and should expect to make the arrangements and pay the bills, at least for the first few dates, but definitely on the first one. And taking responsibility like this will relieve the women of it and allow her to be taken care of and be treated as special.
Well, that sounds wonderful from a woman's point of view.
Well, like we said, it doesn't have to be an expensive date.
Yeah, that's I think more to the point, that you want to do something that's inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another way to look at it, rather than comparing who makes more, is to look at who invited whom. If it's as I said, even if it's a buddy, if I call up my friend and say, "Hey, let's go to dinner," you know, I'm taking him to dinner. Depending on the kind of friend and the context and things like that. If you haven't seen somebody in a while and you invite them somewhere, you don't invite them to come and pay. You invite them as your guest. So looking at it that way is one. As I said, just you know, another good solution to this one, and I find this one works quite well, is to do more than one thing when you go out. So if you go have a bite to eat somewhere, go somewhere else for dessert, or go somewhere else for drinks afterwards, and give her the opportunity to pay for that second thing.
Yeah, I agree with that one, and I've used that one myself quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is nice to be taken care of, too.
I'm sure it is.
Haven't you ever had a girl pay for you, Zach?
What's that? Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's great. It's nice,
right,
but
it's clarifying.
But what we want and what makes us feel attraction to somebody are often not the same things.
That is a very valid point. And on that note, you're listening to Juicebox Radio. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with a lot of do's and don'ts about dating. And if you have any questions, you can give us a call at 604-UBC-CITR. We are going to be right back in a moment. And I hope you're enjoying it.
me into shape. I must have been asleep for days, moving lips to breathe her name. I opened up my eyes and found myself alone, alone, alone above a raging sea. I stole the only girl I loved, drowned her deep inside our sleep. You move, soft and lonely. You move, lost and lonely. Just like heaven.
Juicebox is a sexuality, so viewer discretion is advised, and I just totally messed that up. Anyway, we are back in the box, and we're here with Zach Bowman, and we've been talking about first dates, do's. I don't know what is with me today, and we are back in the box talking about... about first dates, and I've got Zach Bowman with me. It's Carolyn McGillivray on Juicebox 101.9 FM. And we were talking about first dates and whether a guy should pay just before the break. Mm-hmm. And now we are going to be talking about do's and don'ts on first dates. So let's start off with, I put together a little bit of a Juicebox checklist. And Zach, feel free to add on to this.
Oh, I will.
And this is for things that you should be packing to bring with your for your thing. Number one, cash. Always make sure you bring cash just in case you end up going somewhere that doesn't take debit or credit. And you never know when there's an emergency where you just need cold, hard cash.
Yeah, I like the women to bring lots of cash to a date.
Really? Okay.
Just in case they want a lap dance or something like that.
Where do you take your dates? Are you offering a lap dance?
I'm offering the lap dance, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm very expensive, so.
Really? Yeah. I'll keep that in mind, and I'll let all my friends know who want to book you for their stag at.
Okay, thank
that
you.
That will be your sideline that you're doing.
Perfect.
Great. As well as that, obviously, debit and credit card, because you never know. You might want to go off to Vegas and elope.
Right, but mostly cash.
Definitely cash. Cell phone, and make sure you turn it on silent once the date starts, but just in case you can't find them, you don't know what they look like, if it's an online date, or if you're picking them up at their house and you may have forgotten their address, that sort of thing. You never know, or you're running late, just so you can keep that. Dental floss, because if you're going for dinner, you never know what you might get caught in your teeth, and you don't want to be sitting there all night just covering your mouth and not smiling at your date where they think that you're mad at them, but you know full well that you've got something stuck in between your teeth. Breath mints.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important, because fresh breath. I just keep thinking of those Dentine commercials and how important it is. House keys, because even though sex can happen on the first date, don't put yourself in a position that you have to have a sleepover, and that's not by choice.
Yeah, I think bringing your house keys whenever you go out is not a bad idea.
It is, but you'd be amazed how many girls forget them.
You mean because they have a roommate and the roommate will let them in during the daytime? I mean, you kind of need to get back into your place at some point.
No, I've had it where I've been out for dinner with friends when I used to have my car, and we went and they went off to go meet their date afterwards, and they left their bag in my car, and I'd get a call at like 4 a.m. because my friend had left their keys in my car in their bag because they
right.
had left it there because they
right.
thought they had everything with them. And it's kind of brutal where they've been making out with some guy all night, and it's like,
right.
oh, you know, Kara, we need to wake you up because we need keys because I don't really want to sleep over because
okay.
I want to do everything.
Okay, so that's a general thing to remember.
Yes.
Okay.
And, of course, last but not least, condoms. You always want to be prepared. Even if you weren't a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, it is very, very, very important to have safe sex. So, and even though I've had a lot of friends tell me, well, why? Why bring condoms? It makes me look like I'm a slut and I may want to have sex. And the bottom line is, wouldn't you rather be prepared just in case it happens where you end up getting pregnant or getting an STI because you didn't practice safe sex because you just couldn't help yourself?
Mm-hmm. And also... matching bra and panties. Just in case. Just in case.
I thought
that's for the girls. No, girls wear that stuff. Guys, no bras.
I was just going to ask, what are you coaching these guys on, Zach, darling? So, I don't think I've ever dated a guy with matching bra and panties.
No, and not the granny ones either.
No, not the Bridget Jones moments, even if it makes you look so absolutely wonderful.
Right.
Yes. So matching bra and panties, or no panties.
Or none at all. Yeah.
That could be quite lovely.
That's fine, too. What was the second thing on your list there? I...
Credit card and debit.
After that?
After that, dental floss. What are you looking at, my darling? My cell phone, which you want to turn off because you don't want to be on the phone during the date.
Yeah, that was what I was going to mention. Yeah, definitely. That's a huge niche. It's a huge no-no is answering your phone during a date, unless there's an emergency or you've got kids or something like that.
But, or you're a doctor.
Or a realtor. An international...
Superstar?
Yeah, superstar or a spy.
But if you were a superstar, wouldn't you have an assistant doing it?
That would need to get in touch with you by your cell phone.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. And no texting back and forth to your ex during...
during the actual date?
Which I actually did have that
again,
happen to
me recently. There's a story there, yeah.
There is a story there.
You have the best don'ts for dates because they're all based on personal experience.
Not all of mine are based on personal experience.
Don't bring any livestock, you know, stuff that I wouldn't think to mention because they actually happened to you. No barnyard animals or...
That wasn't on my list, but it's a very good one. I don't think you should bring barnyard animals unless you're going to the P&E and you're dating a farmer.
Even so, bringing your own to the P&E is it's frowned upon in our culture. It sends out the wrong message.
I'd be inclined to agree with you, Zach.
Yeah.
So, pre-date preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a few things on that. Obviously, dressing appropriately. We talked about just basically figuring out what you're going to wear for ladies, even though I think a lot of guys do like us in heels. Wouldn't you agree, Zach?
No, I don't. I think heels are silly.
What?
I do. I think that...
What?
Yeah, they're not good for you.
What?
You might need to walk. I like comfortable shoes, you know, not like...
For women to wear.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't think it's sexy seeing a woman in heels?
It's not my preference, no.
All right. Would you say that's the norm for most men?
I'm not sure. I don't think guys care about it as much as women do. They don't notice as much. I mean, I personally, and there are other guys that I know, love the way women look in jeans and t-shirt. You know, that's...
What's wrong with jeans and t-shirts and heels?
Where to begin?
Oh, okay. Boots have heels on them. I've got I've got 14 pairs, actually.
Sure. I'm happier if she's comfortable and we can walk somewhere and we can, you know, I mean, if we need to run from a large animal or...
at the P&E, of course.
Yeah,
in case
the P&E,
it breaks out of a cage.
A tiger or something like that. I would like to, to be able to, or hop a fence or something like that. So I personally I'm not the biggest fan of heels, but you know, wear what's comfortable for you.
I think comfort is the key word. I'd say if you're buying a new outfit to go on the date, making sure that it is very comfortable, that you can actually sit in it. You're not going to tear it. In terms of shoes, yes, you don't want to be sitting there limping and all slouched over, which make somebody look not particularly confident because of the fact you're all hunched over, because of the fact you've got a huge blister on your foot, which looks very unattractive.
Yeah, blisters are not attractive.
No.
I would agree with you there.
Yes.
I would say though, you mentioned shopping for a new outfit or something like that. First dates, you know, I would tend to err more on the casual side than on the dressy side. If we're doing something, again, that's inexpensive and interactive and things like that, you know, you don't need to go out and exactly buy a whole new outfit. If you're a jeans type of person and you're going to a place where that's appropriate, then wear your jeans.
I guess I'm not so casual. I like dressing up, but that's part of who I am, though, too.
And dressing up can be fun, and you can make it a dress-up thing if you go to an event or if you're going to, you're going to something where that's appropriate, then yeah, dress up and decide that beforehand. But to go get a new outfit for a first date, if it's someone that you don't know that well, is very costly if you date very often.
Well, you gotta remember, a lot of women like to shop. Not all women do, but many do. So any excuse.
So it's an excuse. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
But if you are buying a new outfit, you want to make sure that you can move in it, you can breathe in it, that you're not going to be very uncomfortable in it, that you are going to be particularly comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Along those lines, you know, what you were mentioning, or what we were just talking about in terms of going out and making an effort to dress up, had a female friend mentioned to me that she found it was a turnoff if she knew a guy through work or something like that that didn't ordinarily wear cologne, and then on the date he was wearing cologne. She actually found it a turnoff that he was so concerned with, you know, trying to impress her. And I thought that was I think it's a pretty valid point.
Well, I think the key point in that is basically trying to be yourself. I personally like cologne just as long as it's not too much and mm-hmm. making sure it's the exact right amount. Mm-hmm. And that goes with perfume as well. But right. I agree.
You can imagine if it's a first date and the guy's he got a manicure and got a facial and got all ready for, you know, got all gussied up to try and look great for you. It sounds like a good idea. It sounds like he's trying too hard.
I would definitely not recommend a facial before first date. Face gets all blotchy, especially if they're doing extractions.
Okay, no extractions.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know what's involved in a facial. My point being, you know.
It's just don't overtry. Don't try too hard so it doesn't make you look desperate is what you're saying.
Well, not only that, but yes, it's how you look and how you come across, but also that shouldn't make the difference whether or not it's going to go well. She should just like you for you. Rather than like you for your cologne.
That's true, but if it makes you feel better about who you are and it makes you feel the best, because I think you should wear something that makes you feel great, you feel sexy, you feel mm-hmm. wonderful, you feel very confident mm-hmm. about who you are. Mm-hmm. And if a new outfit does that for you, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
As long as you feel comfortable in it and it is something that you'd actually wear again. It's not just for that date.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, Another prep for the date is taking care of business. To quote Tanya Diamond, who's the tantra teacher, is to control your own orgasm. So I'm all for the whole Ben Stiller, like in Something About Mary, where it's like basically make sure you take care of yourself beforehand. Masturbate if you need to before you go on your date. So then that way you are not basically stuck with an onset of raging hormones.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you, Caroline.
Really?
I think sexual energy and sexual tension on a date is a good thing. And I think that desiring the person you're with is, what makes it a date and not hanging out with friends.
What I'm going to say on that is it depends on the person. And I think by taking care of yourself, it is important because in that way you actually get to know them. Because if there's chemistry, it's still going to be there. Just because you've already come doesn't mean you don't find other people attractive.
Right. So
my point being is just because you've taken care of yourself does not mean you're not going to be ready for round two. So it just means it's going to be more on a low ebb in terms of the fact that it's not going to be you're going to be jumping on them as soon as they walk through your door to pick you up where you don't even leave the house.
Okay.
Point taken?
Point taken. Yeah, I think we're going to agree to disagree. If that works for you, then great. But I don't think it's something you necessarily have to do before a date.
But if it's somebody you're really, really, really attracted to already and you're really nervous and stuff, I think it helps relax the person. It can help them actually center themselves in their own body. Because
it gives you something to talk about?
No, I wouldn't advise talking about that before a date.
What'd you do today?
Make a very interesting conversation, but no, I wouldn't bring that up.
Again, I really think that I like that sexual tension. I like that, and being able to have restraint is part of what builds that sexual tension. So again, there are two points of view on this one. Masturbate before a date. Don't masturbate before a date. And what's that?
I think it depends on your libido.
Sure, sure.
If you've got a very high libido and you like getting it more than twice a day, I think you should.
And maybe you should masturbate twice before your date.
That's not a bad idea. You guys can write in and tell us all about that at carolinajuiceboxradio.com.
Perfect.
And on the actual date itself, I think it's really important to be on time. I think it's a sign of respect. I say that regardless whether it's meeting somebody, a meet and greet for the first time, whether it's a sperm donor, or whether or not it's an actual date, even just meeting a friend for coffee. I think it's really, really important to be on time. It shows that you care about that person or respect their time and mm-hmm. show that they have value.
Yeah, absolutely. Being on time is important. And if you're a sperm donor, you want to show that you have punctual genes, you know?
That is true. And other things is if you want, you can compliment the person that you're going out with. Everybody likes to feel that they're attractive and look good if you genuinely think that they're attractive, you know?
Absolutely. Along those lines, I would say it's better to compliment the effort that someone's made versus something that they can't control, like the color of their eyes or something like that, you know?
Give me an example.
That shirt that you're wearing it's really nice for your coloring. It really brings out the color in your eyes versus, oh my God, you have beautiful eyes, you know?
Got it, where one is actually a genetic accident, basically, thanks to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, understood, and where the other one's actually a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One thing, do be very polite to the waitstaff and anyone you come across on the date.
Yeah, if you need to be told this.
Actually,
there's a problem already, but...
Yeah, that one I actually got from Samantha Daniels, who the show Mismatch is actually based on her.
Okay.
So that's one of her points, actually. Do make plans to go for a drink instead of dinner, because a drink will feel like less pressure. Mm-hmm. And as you're saying, you can expand that and continue on to dinner if it turns out it's going really well.
Mm-hmm.
Do cancel if you're feeling ill or having a bad day, because nobody really wants to be out with somebody who's in a bad mood. Don't make your bad mood somebody else's problem.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple. If you're gonna cancel on someone, you can make it pretty clear that it's a legitimate reason and you want to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference between someone saying, "You know what? I'm sorry. I'm just really not feeling well right now, and so I'm gonna go ahead and cancel. But I would still like to see you. What are you doing next week?" Versus, can't make it tonight. Sorry. Talk to you later.
Exactly. No. One sounds like a brush off, whereas one is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that you don't talk about how much you hate your ex or your mother or any member of your family.
Unless your ex or your mother are real cows.
Really,
then you
Zach,
should spend
the whole
exactly.
time,
spend the whole
about
time
them.
Talking about them.
And don't ask really invasive questions on a first date. You stick to the basics and ask the harder questions later. That doesn't mean ask generic questions,
mm-hmm.
but don't ask them things like, "So have you ever been to therapy before? What type of therapy are you on? Or what type of meds are you on?"
Fair enough.
Unless it comes up in conversation.
Unless it comes up
really
in conversation, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do try and focus on the person sitting across from you. Like, don't be sitting
if your date's sitting across from you, yeah.
Yes.
If they're sitting beside you, best not to focus on the person across from you.
Okay, that's a very valid point. Thank you, touche.
Yeah, definitely. I know what you're saying. You're saying having a wandering eye and mm-hmm. Picking up the waitress while you're
I was just
going to
say that.
Is
Or the boy at the other table.
Or the boy at the other table. Especially if you're a guy, that sends the wrong message.
That sends a really interesting message. That's when I'd be just like, let's just be friends.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine he'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and we'd have to compare technique, how to pick up.
But at the same time, you can stay in the environment. You can look around. You can comment on things. That's all. Okay. You don't need to zone in on that person and sort of forget yourself. It's a good way to help stay relaxed.
Mm.
If you're very nervous, is to lean back
and
let your attention move around the room a little bit.
That makes sense.
It's finding a balance.
So it's not just look into my eyes
mm-hmm.
and they might realize you have gorgeous eyes, like it said in the little kid thing that we were reading earlier.
Yeah, that was quite funny. Dating advice for teens mentioned that if you stare into her eyes, she'll probably realize that you have the most beautiful eyes she's ever seen, and she'll fall in love with you. It's bizarre advice, but there you have it.
Yeah. Other don'ts. We did touch on the turning off the cell phone. Other big ones are if you're going for dinner, making sure you've just got proper etiquette. You don't eat with your mouth open. You don't want to order messy meals. My mother always told me don't order spaghetti on a date until I learned how to eat it properly. But say you don't know how to use chopsticks, you may not want to go for sushi or Japanese food or Chinese food just because it can be really messy if you don't know how to use chopsticks properly.
Hmm?
Things like that. Again, more etiquette. You don't want to be picking your teeth at the table with a toothpick. You might want to go to the washroom.
That's what, bring your floss and do it with the floss.
Go to the washroom and use your floss.
Okay.
Blowing your nose with a napkin or groping at your crotch at the restaurant.
Again, if we need to tell you this, if we have some crotch groping, boy picking up, rude to waiters, daters out there, I hope they're listening.
I actually got these off the internet, believe it or not.
Okay. All right. Don't floss your teeth with your date's hair. That's another good one.
That is
also
a very
based
good one.
On a true story.
Really?
Really based on a true
Which
story.
Which type
yeah.
of hair?
Head hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again.
The other kind of hair, like chest pubes.
Underarm hair?
Underarm hair. That's fine. Obviously, if you're flossing with that, it's consensual at that point.
I really have to come to one of your classes, Zach. This is very, very fascinating.
I've got a couple of things to say, a couple kind of do's and don'ts. First of all, I do want to say that, you know, a list of things not to do can actually just make you a lot more nervous than anything. You know, here's 30 things that you better not do or your date's, you know, ruined. So the biggest one is to be able to sort of scrap these rules and just lean back and have fun and enjoy the person you're with. The common mistakes that I have here are some of the less obvious ones. Things like, and these are mostly aimed towards guys, but trying too hard to get rapport with her. So this means not stating opinions until you know what hers are first. That's the worst. If a guy won't state his opinion, or if a guy, you know, if he says, you know, he's about to say he really liked, you know, Indiana Jones, and then he realizes maybe she doesn't like Indiana Jones, maybe I should ask her first what she thought about it, and then, you know what I'm getting at?
In fact,
you know, if you disagree on those things, there's so much of emphasis on finding things in common that people don't realize that you can actually, you know, enjoy someone that you disagree on, you know. it's actually more attractive for you. I'm sure you can agree if a guy says he doesn't like a movie that you said he liked, you know.
It gives you more to talk about and debate, which helps you learn more about that person.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, just arguing with everything and disagreeing with everything, it's the same sort of thing. It's, you know, being very opinionated like that is sort of it's a sign of insecurity. But practice saying your opinions without checking if it's okay with other people. And you'll find that people will generally, you know, if you own it, people will generally accept that, you know?
What other dating mistakes do we got?
Sort of along those lines, playing it very safe, you know, sticking with safe topics and non-offensive things. And, you know, if you're the type of person who, you know, if you're excited by controversy and, you know, politically correct, safe is not... other than safe sex. But safe is not sexy when it comes to fashion and, you know what I mean? Being very neutral, being very generic, and being very careful mm-hmm. are not things that are very attractive. That can get you into playing catch up, which is when she says, not catch up, but catch up, is when she says she likes something and you say, yeah, me too. It's okay. You know, you don't want to strictly, again, it's finding a balance. You don't want to disagree with everything she says, but at the same time, when you find that's all you're doing, only asking questions, not sharing anything. That's one. Not asking any questions is another one. Asking relationship type questions like how many kids do you want and things like that. I think that's a no-no for first
dates. I agree. I was going to say you don't want to propose marriage on the first date or at any declarations of love.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. Looks like we're kind of running out of time, but I do want to get into this one. There seems to be this idea amongst men that being sexual, kissing, you know, touching her in any way is somehow disrespectful or not gentlemanly. Yeah, Caroline's shaking her head in here. No, women want you to make a move. They like it. And I've heard guys say, you know, they had a date and say, oh, well, did you have sex? Did you guys kiss? What? How'd it go? And the guy will say, no, I'm not like that. I'm a gentleman. That's not appealing to women.
No.
Women like guys who are gonna be aggressive and take control. And
they don't want friends.
They don't want a buddy. They're not out with you because they want a buddy. They're out with you because they want a man that's gonna take control. Obviously, if she's not into it, you know,
you need to read her body language.
You need to read her body language. But along this, waiting till the end of the date for that kiss is a huge mistake because there's all kinds of anxiety and expectation. And is he going to try and kiss me? And what's the expectation here? So I actually find it's better just to get it over with earlier on in the evening. Or if it comes to the end of the evening and you haven't kissed, you know, don't
wait
do that.
Wait till the next time.
Yeah, wait till the next time. Don't do that cliche.
But there's other ways, like even just things like just putting your hand on her back when you're going through a door sometimes.
Absolutely.
Where it's almost, again, it's that whole taking care of thing, which is sort of the about a gentleman paying on the first date, that sort of concept, which, again, there's different ways you can show that you can take care of somebody. And sometimes it's a really nice thing where it's just the whole opening the door.
Opening doors, I think all those things are great. If you can do that and still be casual and fun and tease her and at the same time open the door, pull out the chair, it's very powerful to, you know, put your hand on her lower back as you're crossing the road. And then you'll get an idea from that if she wants to be touched more, you know?
You'll be able to read her.
You'll be able to read her.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really,
all right,
really
we have run over time,
looks
we like.
We have run over time, definitely. One thing I did want to touch on really, really quickly, and oh my God, sorry, I just saw Marion's shoes, and Zach pointed them out to me, and oh God, I'm having another shoegasm. They are just way too hot. One of these days, we do need to get a camera in here because his shoes are so amazing. So, Marion, if you were single and you wore those on a date, I'd just be all over the place. Those are just...
But apparently women look first at shoes, right?
Yes, we do look at shoes first, which is why shoes are very, very important. Perhaps we wear our shoes for each other, but it makes us feel really good. Zach, I like your sneakers too, but those are very, 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 very hot. Sorry, I'm drooling and I've lost my train of thought. But one thing I did want to touch on is keeping a dating journal, especially when things are fresh. Just giving yourself a little test at the end of a date on a scale of 1 to 10, how good was the date? Just kind of marking it down. What did you like? What did you dislike? And what things did you like about him? I like writing moments down because if it ends up turning into a long-term relationship, I have actually found that it's actually a really nice present to actually give somebody sometimes where
you can keep track of who you said what to if you're dating multiple
people.
That's
true. If you're dating multiples, it's very important to do that. And also what your feelings are at that moment. Would you want to see him again if he asked you out? And if so, yes. Why? And if not, why not? And how did he make you feel? How did you feel on the date? Did you feel stupid? Did you feel awkward or beautiful and amazing and intelligent? So all those things are really important to think of. And Zach, thank you so much.
Thanks, Caroline. And happy birthday, Julia.
Yes, Miss Julia, I'm sure you're having a good time. And I hope you're having some cake for us because we'd be eating it if you were here.
And hope everybody enjoys Sex Day, which is tomorrow.
National Sex Day. Which Val was pointing out to us. I thought it was interesting that they originally tried to have that on March 21st, which was Good Friday, but apparently the Christians didn't like that very much. Anyway, I hope you had a great night and you enjoyed the show. We will be back next week, including with Ms. Julia and the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. So stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour with Marion. And as you know, he is very, very sexy. And those shoes, oh my God. Very, very hot. And he's kind of blushing here. So on that note, adios, everyone.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated